Our passage this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 1 to 18a. That's Acts, chapter 18, verses 1 to 18a. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. So Paul still remained a good while. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that despite the current restrictions stopping us from meeting, we are still able to enjoy fellowship together through other media. I pray for my brothers and sisters at Waterside that they would draw strength from you throughout this challenging period, and that you would wrap your protective arms around them. I pray also that you would speak to us clearly through your word this morning, that you would challenge, teach, rebuke, and encourage us. Give us ears to hear and soften our hearts, we pray. In the name of your precious Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to extend my greetings to the fellowship at Waterside Baptist Church and anyone listening online. I was looking forward to seeing you again, but obviously this has not been possible during the coronavirus lockdown. Today's passage looks at a fascinating part of the book of Acts as the author Luke shifts from writing about Jesus' apostles immediately after his ascension to Paul's mission work. Looking at the passage, I want to focus on three things that I think Paul is showing us. Number one, how to be tent makers. Number two, that we should blow our trumpets. And number three, that we should not be afraid. Before this passage, Paul, along with his helpers, had established a fairly clear pattern for visiting towns. He would arrive, go to the synagogue, preach, often face opposition, But the gospel advanced. Paul was planting churches one after the other, spreading the gospel as Jesus had commanded his disciples to do in Acts 1, verse 8, prior to his ascension into heaven. We see today that the pattern started as normal. The first line starts, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth." Now, we know a lot about Corinth from Paul's later letters to them, 1 and 2 Corinthians, as well as non-biblical accounts. It was a large Roman city in southern Greece with a big population of Greeks, Romans and Jews. We know that Paul visited in around 50 AD. The city had a reputation as something of a den of iniquity, and the people there worshipped various Greeks, Greek and Roman gods and idols. Now Paul sought out Aquila, who had been ejected from Italy with his wife Priscilla because he was a Jew. They were tent makers by trade, and Paul settled in with them and made tents too. But also, verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Now, why would Paul make tents? To avoid burdening others. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. "For you remember, brethren, our labour and toil, for labouring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God." He also explains in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18, why he made tents. "What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel." Paul did not want to burden the people he was preaching to, nor to abuse his position, either of which would distract people from the gospel. Making tents would have also given Paul many opportunities to come into contact with lots of people with whom he could then share the gospel. Full-time paid Christian work, whether that's ministry or mission work, is very important, and we shouldn't detract from that. But in a contemporary sense, the vast majority of us will be tent makers, with full-time secular jobs or other commitments that bring us into contact with many people who haven't heard or responded to the gospel yet. For those of us not in full-time paid ministry, that is our mission, and we are fulfilling Jesus' great commission by spending time with those people and taking opportunities to tell them the gospel. It would be easy to laugh or perhaps cry at this point, given most people are working at home or have been furloughed, so some opportunities may have temporarily gone away. I've been working at home for 7 weeks already, and expect to do so for a lot longer. It's unprecedented, certainly in my generation, for so many people to be out of work or working on their own in their house. I do still speak with my colleagues, but Zoom video conference calls aren't an obvious medium for witnessing. But as is often the case with God's plan for us, when one door closes, another opens. And that is exactly what happened to Paul, which we'll see in a moment. I have a recent personal example of this. I had a small heart attack in March and have had a few days in hospital a couple of times since then for observations and tests. When I returned, I've had to explain to people why I didn't respond to emails and calls for a few days. And when I have explained the situation, it's opened up some great conversations and given me a few opportunities to witness about the hope that I have. So if you have a job, you are a tent maker, like Paul. If you are retired or don't have a job at the moment, you will still probably be filling your time doing things which bring you into contact with people, which will hopefully provide opportunities. But some people may not have contact with people, especially during this lockdown. And that is really hard. But we can look forward to and pray about the time when we will have more contact with people. People will ask what we did during the lockdown and how we got through the lockdown. And this is a fantastic opportunity to talk about your faith. Be ready. Be ready for that. So my first point this morning is that we are being shown how to be tent makers. Paul was joined by his supporters, Silas and Timothy, who arrived from Macedonia. The NIV translation then says that he devoted himself exclusively to preaching, whereas the New King James Version says he was compelled by the Spirit. To make this more clear, we can see that he is compelled by the Spirit to devote himself exclusively to preaching. Paul then faces rejection from the Jews in the synagogue, who don't accept his message. His reaction is robust. He shook out his clothes. This seems very strange to us, but Paul's Old Testament knowledge was obviously strong because he is quoting Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 13, when Nehemiah is rebuking the Jews in Jerusalem for oppressing each other, he says, "Then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, 'So may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied.'" Paul is saying that God will shake out anyone who breaks the promise that the priests have just made to restore the goods and money taken from their own people. Similarly, Jesus himself, when sending out the 12 disciples to preach during his ministry in Matthew chapter 10, verse 12, said, "And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Paul then goes on to say, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." This is another Old Testament reference, this time to Ezekiel 33, verses 1 to 5. "Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head.'" Paul is likening himself to the watchman. The watchman would keep a close eye on the horizon for any approaching enemies. If he saw them, he would sound the alarm and tell people of the danger. Paul has told the Jews in Corinth of an impending danger. He has told them what will happen to them if they don't acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. He has blown the trumpet, but they haven't listened, so the fault for their blood lies at their door. Paul will be innocent of the punishment they will receive because he warned them. How is this relevant to us today? Well, our responsibility is not to convert people. It is not to make them Christians. We are not capable of doing that. Only God can do that. Our responsibility is to blow the trumpet, to proclaim the gospel faithfully, to get alongside people and tell them about Jesus and what he has done for us. In so doing, we are innocent of their blood if they do not accept him. We often focus on the outcome of our witnessing to people. We feel sad and frustrated when we talk to people and they don't accept the gospel. And we probably measure evangelists by the number of people who have been converted under their ministry. But God just wants us to blow the trumpet. Of course, we want those that we love and those we come into contact with to accept Jesus. And yes, we should be praying for them. But God has called us to be the watchman. We will not be held accountable for how people respond to the gospel, but we are responsible to blow the trumpet. So Paul blew the trumpet, but his door with the Jews closed, and he was frustrated. What happens next? Well, look at verse 7. And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. So Paul, frustrated with the Jews, left the synagogue and went next door. He boldly set up a church right next to the synagogue. Now, every person saved is a miracle, but here comes the great bit of the story. Verse 8, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Paul set up a church next to the synagogue, and the synagogue leader himself heard the gospel and believed. We mustn't skate over this remarkable event. And also, many of the Corinthians heard, believed, and were baptized. It's not a big leap to realize this would have massively angered the Jews in the synagogue, and Paul would have been afraid. Which brings me to our third point this morning, to not be afraid, specifically, of telling the gospel. Verses 9 to 11. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. How comforting this must have been for Paul to know that God had many people in this city, but more importantly, verse 10, for I am with you, and no one will attack or hurt you. Paul must have wondered whether this amazing promise from God was going to be kept when he was brought before the proconsul Gallio. But God used this dangerous situation to advance the gospel again. As we see in verses 14 to 16, Gallio is uninterested and brushes this argument away. This is great news for Paul personally, and the fledgling Corinthian church, as it means he won't be dragged before the Roman authorities in this city again for proclaiming the gospel. Effectively, Gallio was viewing Christianity as part of Judaism, which was a recognized religion in Roman law, which afforded them protection. Can we apply this directly to our own situation? Well, many people are hurt or even killed for promoting the gospel in other countries. It would not seem appropriate to say to them, no one will attack or hurt you. But in our country, where we have protection under the law, even if it may seem that that protection is being slowly eroded over time, God has many people in our cities. We should not be afraid of speaking. We're in a lockdown. People are scared and worried. People are asking big questions. People haven't seen their families for a long time. There's a lot of loneliness and fear. People have lost their jobs. Many will have lost loved ones. What people have held dear for so long, they may no longer have. Where is their hope for the future? What have you got to lose to speak out now? God has told us to not be afraid to speak out. If we don't speak out now, when will we? He is with us. We probably think that there are people we could never speak out to, that would never become Christians. Well, let's think about that as we finish with looking at Sosthenes. We see that Sosthenes, who replaced Crispus as the synagogue leader, was beaten by the locals. It's not clear whether it was the local Greeks who beat him for causing trouble, or the Jews for his bad handling of the situation, which left the synagogue in a worse position. But very interestingly, if we jump forward in time and read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, we see Paul start that letter with, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother." Biblical scholars are undecided whether that is the same Sosthenes who was the new synagogue leader, or someone who shared the same name. But it is lovely to think that it may well be the former. What an amazing end to the story that would be. We won't know for sure this side of glory. So concluding for today, God is teaching us through Paul how to not burden the church, but to be tent makers and to witness in our workplaces or other locations we spend our time. He's calling us all as watchmen to blow the trumpet, to tell people of the impending danger they are facing if they do not repent and accept Jesus as their Lord. And he is calling us to not be afraid, to seek others out who are his people to support us, and to trust him. God bless you all.